Today is 6/26/2022. It's the third Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein.
Amen.
But right now, the Dominion one that you just did, like I said, this week I'm posting up the voter fraud page. It should be sometime this week, maybe. We're working on it now. And we can add stuff to it later on. I'm going to get the testimonies of Brother Will and Phil. Or is it Phil and Will? Will and Phil? It rhymes.
I know.
Will and Phil. Your testimonies at the Sierra County with some other testimonies on the voter fraud. I'm going to have some documentaries on voter fraud. And you know what? God's inspiring us to do that right now because of the general elections coming up around the corner.
Right.
But we can see how important it is to get the right people in there. That's why I say the Trump getting in the first time was a miracle.
Yeah.
Because you know they were tweaking the machines and everything. God can intervene. And when that happens, then they panic. Hillary, like, she was sure she had it. It was in the back. They did cheat afterwards, but they didn't get enough. God still prevented it from really taking effect. But you still, they cheat. And unless God intervenes, you're dead. And we can see the great advantage of Trump and the Supreme Court judges he put in there on the Roe versus Wade decision. That is amazing. What a miracle. That's what a wonderful thing that is. Think about that. All these babies that are now, at least in the states where they can like ban it. There's about 13 states. And the pro-life people are saying, this is just the beginning.
Exactly.
And they know it. They say, we want to ban abortion by the Constitution altogether. See, once you get somebody coming to define this, there's no doubt that life begins in the womb. Then you ban abortion because you're murdering people. It always comes down to the guy. You go to these bitch women, witch bitch women, and they hate human beings even. They hate their own. Remember the Lord said they're going to hate their own fruit of their own wombs? And she's saying, you're messing with my, they're messing with your body. See, they're going to force me to, here's what they're saying. They're going
to
force me that my pregnancy comes to terms. They're going to force me to give birth. Force you. Force you. Like it's a disease. Like they're going to force you because you've got something that's sick in you and it's a baby. It's a human life. It's a human. Anyway, the Bible was posted up. I didn't know Roe. We didn't hear about the news until after I posted the Bible on. But I waited for the. I was ready to post it up at the beginning of the week, and I said, I'm going to go with this thing. And I looked at the calendar, and I said, Sacred Heart, this is this year, the Sacred Heart Feast Day fell on the same day as the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. On the same day. My favorite devotion is the Sacred Heart. Because it gives you the love of God. Love is everything. St. Augustine said, true love is everything. Without love, you may as well be a robot or may as well not be born. So the Sacred Heart tells you that the heart comes before the brain. And so we had the Sacred Heart, and it fell on the same day as the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, 6/24/2022.
Yeah.
So I determined that I'm going to post it up then. So the Bible, and I had it already. I posted it up at 8:28 a.m. in the morning, Mountain Standard Time here in the USA. But then later on, Will was the first one I found. I said Roe Wade was overturned. And I don't know when we got that news, but that came later. But you think there's coincidence? God did that on purpose to show two things. First of all, it's overturned because of our prayers. They've been working to overturn it for 50 years. We're around, Mary's Little Remnant now, we've been existing here for a while, praying for this to happen, praying for Trump to get in there and conservative judges. It happened. On our watch, and it happened on the same day, when I posted our Bible up, which is another monumentous day for the restoration of the Catholic faith.
Exactly.
To have a 100% bona fide Holy Catholic Bible that has the purified text as much as possible, where there's no heresies at least. And as I said, I'm sure there's other texts that need to be corrected. No major heretical type of textual errors, at least that I caught. And I've been reading it for a long time, but if anybody finds one, they can bring it up for my second edition. But also the commentaries.
Yeah.
The commentaries are a bulwark.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I said, the first thing is the prayer book, then is the profession of faith and catechism. That's true. Third comes the Bible. But the Bible, you can also make it like 2B. You can say the catechism is 2A,
yeah.
The Bible is 2B.
Exactly.
Because the Bible I revised. Why is the Bible I revised 2B? Because it does have a catechism
exactly.
in it. The Bible I have up there is a catechism lesson. It's not just like a few meager, lousy commentaries. You take a look at all these Bibles, nominal Catholic Bibles, and they have like a little commentary. Little, or you look at Haydock, he'll give you five different commentaries and leave you hanging in the wind as to what's true or what's not, when he gives you some heretical commentaries that can't be true because they're heretical, or he's ambiguous, and he gives you a commentary that doesn't make no sense whatsoever, and you go, well, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense, and contradicts himself in other commentaries. Lapidi does that when he quotes about 10 different people. People don't want to know, hey, I'm going to tell you what 10 different church fathers taught, and you're free to, you know. Now, there's certain things you are free on allowable opinions, I agree. And I go over that a few times in the Bible. But there's certain things where it's certain. When our Lord said that if he who believes in him shall have life everlasting, it's certain he's talking about the life of the body during the general resurrection. That, and also the life of the soul is going to benefit immediately. Because a lot of times, if Lord said, you know, on John 11, 24 to 25, or 25 to 26, he that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And he that liveth in me, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Let's just take that one thing for a second. If you don't explain that the right way, people, we do die. Why does Christ say we're not going to die? First of all, he's talking about the soul, number one. That's what he's talking about. Your soul's not going to die. If you're in a state of grace right now, you're in a state of everlasting life, unless you fall away. But if you die that way, you go to heaven, you're saved. Okay, secondly, your body's going to be saved too, benefit from the redemption on the general resurrection when you get your glorified body. So it needs a proper commentary, or you can scandalize people and think God's lying. You think the Gospels are full of lies. You can see the Jews try to misquote New Testament verses. I can misquote Old Testament verses out of context, and also discredit the Old Testament. You can do that with anybody, on any topic, on any subject, if you take people out of context. So the biblical commentaries that I have are so very important.
Yeah.
It's so that Bible is almost like a catechism.
Yeah.
That's how important it is.
Exactly.
And how important for people, I mean, I could give you a catechism, it's true. If you just had a prayer book and a catechism, you can save your soul. If you didn't have the Bible. But if you have the Bible, you must read it. Or have someone read it to you if you can't read. That's God's love letter to mankind.
Exactly.
I always say a million times to people that when you love somebody, you want to know everything about them.
Yeah.
And sometimes people love people to the point of idolizing them, which is sinful. But sometimes a real love, even from God, a husband and a wife who get married, you want to know everything about them. What was he like when he was a kid? You know, what's his favorite food? What school did he go to? What hobbies does he like? You know, all kinds of these things, right? You know, if you say you love God above all things, but you don't want to read the Bible, and you have access to it, or somebody can read it to you, then how do you love God? How do you love God? You want to know about God, everything about God, everything about that God teaches, and everything about the world that God created. It's like the greatest story ever.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You know how they say truth is stranger than fiction? Read the Bible. This is the truth. And when we talk about the devils and the damned humans and how the devil can do this, I go, oh, come on. If you don't believe in devils, then you're not going to believe in God. Because that's all part of what God's telling us about the corrupted world. And that's why I say a lot of times the devil hides himself. Because he doesn't want to know he exists. Because with me at least, God converted me by showing me the devil. He let the devil beat me up. And when the devil started to beat me up, I knew for sure God existed. It was a great day in my life. I didn't go to the devil's side. I went to God's side and started to learn and went to God for help. Other people, though, when they're attacked by the devil, they go to the devil and they make a deal with the devil because they want to, oh, Mr. Devil, please, what can I, don't beat me up. Okay, do this, do that. Kill, offer up a couple of human sacrifices or an animal, start with animals, you know, blaspheme Jesus Christ, and then I'll help you. And then he lays off you, see? You can go two ways when the devil attacks you. You can go towards him and serve him because you're afraid of him, or you go to God. But anyway, this Bible, I've been working on it for over 22 years. I say it because I think I started, and my Bible memorization thing I have home is dated from 1997. That's when I started to memorize Bible verses. And that's when I was reading the Bible. So you can go back, we're going back more than 22 years. Yeah, that I've been working on this thing. And reading it, rereading it, and you know, like I said in the thing, I now would have rather used the Septuagint for the Old Testament, after all this work, basically what they say is, I can say, at least from what I know, there's no heresies in there, in the text, and there's no heresies in the commentaries. There might be a heresy in the text somewhere I didn't catch yet, But I've been reading it pretty much, so it's pretty safe. You know, if it is, somebody can email me, show me, you know. But right now, I got, because we, a lot of us know, those biblical texts, some of them even were historically inaccurate too, and it was scandalous, and some of them were heretical, in the Old Testament mostly, because it's the Hebrew, based off the Hebrew Masoretic text, the Clementine Vulgate. But the commentaries are a bulwark. And that's why I was thinking about separating out, because it's going to be so long, I'll take out the long commentaries and put them in a separate book. So we'll give them the Bible, and every time anybody gets the Bible, they're going to get the long commentaries. It's a separate book. They said, nah, can't do that. Can't do that. It's all one package. All one package. I was going to separate, remember, the Old Testament from the New. It's all one package. Yeah. It's a big book, but it's one. You take the whole thing, or you don't take it at all. Because I don't, because if I send him a separate long commentary and he loses that, but he's got the Bible, now he lost these long commentaries, which is a bulwark on explaining some of the most difficult things. The brothers online and all us brothers, and the brothers online here and the site and all that, you can see how we're working on perfecting the Bible. They're telling me, hey, maybe you put a commentary on this. Hey, Rich, maybe you can say this a little better. Hey, Rich, why don't you put this one in here? Because I know the problems people have in difficult passages, because I had the same problems, and I never had them answered to me the right way. Now, those commentaries, a lot of the commentaries are from me, but when I say from me, I read the church fathers too, so it's not like I'm making stuff up, but here's the way it happens, I'm going to tell you anyway. I just started writing things down before I read any church father, and then I'd read the church fathers, and they're teaching what I wrote.
Right.
So what I'm saying is God's been inspiring me. Yeah. He's doing miracles with me, and I'm getting the right interpretation without even reading the church. I don't despise the church fathers. I love them. I use them for confirmation. If anybody was to come in and say, Rich, where did you get this from? I'll find a church father that taught it. I got so many notes on the church fathers. It would take me like, I don't know how many years just to compile them in the house. I got a box of notes on books and numbers and topics and Will knows. I'm writing my several topic thing. I had like 1,000 pages. Yes. So I it's backed up what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't always quote the church father, but I've read them. I know what they teach. But most of the times, the way this has happened from the beginning is, God has inspired me with the correct interpretation. Yeah. And then later on, I read a church father and go, hey, look, Augustine taught this. Good, I can use him as a confirmation. Or St. Ambrose taught this. Or so-and-so taught this, or this one. And some of the commentaries I left were good. Not all the commentaries in Haydock and Chandler Bible are bad. They got a lot of good commentaries. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I would have liked to have done, Haydock does get into some more historical stuff, which is interesting, but I didn't have time for all of that. Now, so I don't want people to really go to each other's Bibles if they don't have to. But unless if they're solid in the faith, and they got the dogmas, they can look at these other reference Bibles. That's why the other topic I was talking about was, and the brothers brought this up to me, and I first was going to put up all my reference Bibles on the Biblical Works page, like the Septuagint, the Codex Vaticanus, the King James Bible, the, what's the other one?
Masoretic
text, Peshitta, the Old Latin, which is a translation of the Septuagint in Latin. And I have all these things. But I was going to put, they said, don't put all them Bibles up on your biblical, it's going to confuse people. You worked all this long time to get the best Bible.
Yeah.
Just give that to them. They said, imagine that we're going to get converts from Chinese people, and they're going to come in here and look at all, just look at mine, okay?
Yeah, right.
Now, if you are solid in the faith, and not everyone's called to be a biblical expert, even Nikolai, I was talking to Sister Nikolai, she mentioned to me, I don't sometimes get into these deep discussions. It's not everybody's made to be deep on the faith. Not everybody has to be a theologian. Not everybody has to be so deep. Some people are called to be deeper than others. So you're not called to be. So my point is, if your average person doesn't have to get that deep, why confuse them with all these other Bibles? Now, if you have that gift and you want to do that studying, what I'm doing is, on the bottom, I said, for my Bible references page, email me, and I'll send you a link to it. And then I'll give them a link, and then they can look at all the Bible references. These are all the things I refer to, along with the church fathers, to come up with my text. So if you want to do your researches and you want to do your studies, I'll send you that for people who want to do that. But I'll also warn them before I do it, make sure you have the faith in your heart 100% when you start reading this stuff, so you don't get swayed by it. So, because you could imagine people that don't have everything right away, and they go to these bad Bibles, and they're getting horrible commentaries. So that I was gonna. So then the brothers came up and said, it was the vote came back and forth. Said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. You're gonna confuse people. They said, yeah, and I can see it. You're right. So all I'm gonna do is put up my Bible, and that's the one that you want people. And if they want reference Bibles, they can get it on a separate page. You can't even access that on my website. You have to email me, and I'll send you that page. So like the one guy, Brother Will's talking to from Canada, he knows Robertson Janus and all that, and he's a big biblical guy, and he's interested in the Bible. We promised to send him, I'll send him the reference page, along with my Biblical Works page. But that Bible, years ago, it's amazing. You saw my refrigerator full of all those Bibles.
Yeah.
Again, I got to repeat this. Refrigerator? He's crazy. He's keeping them on ice. Now, the refrigerator is unplugged, but I keep them in there because it's like burn-proof. If the place burns down, the Bibles are going to survive. You know, I got them inside my refrigerator I don't use. But I referred to also, like I say, the Septuagint from Lancelot, the Septuagint from Thompson, which is a better English translation of the Codex Vaticanus. I refer to the Masoretic text, I said, even do that too. I got a lot of since Vatican II Bibles aren't that bad neither, believe it or not. Some they're better on some things than the Clementine Vulgate. Because they at least admitted, when it came to, remember they idolized the Clementine Vulgate? No one, Clement the Antipope, Apostate Antipope Clement the 13th came out and said, everything in here is infallible, is error-free, you know. Nobody can mess with one iota. So everybody was afraid to say anything when they seen these gross errors and even some heretical translations in the Clementine Vulgate. They were afraid to say anything for all these years. And I forget, it was one of Pius IX or the 10th or one of our Leo the 13th, one of these Apostate Antipopes, lifted the veil and allowed them to start criticizing it a little bit. Anyway, I don't want to go over the purpose of history of that, but the whole thing is, this was a really big day, and putting this Bible up, on the Sacred Heart Feast Day, when it happened to fall on the same day as the Nativity, St. John the Baptist, who's the patron saint of our website, who's also a patron saint of the first coming of Christ, and also now the second coming of Christ with St. Elias. It's all coming together. And this, to me, I know that when the attacks happen big, and this is one of the biggest things, other than we got the prayer book, and look, that's why I said, I used to put the Bible at third, but that will be a Bible without an extensive commentary. My Bible's like a catechism, really.
Exactly.
It is. So let's say prayer book 1, catechism 2a, Bible is good commentary 2b.
Yeah.
If you didn't have the 2b Bible with the commentary, the catechism alone can save you.
Yeah.
Right now, the profession of faith that I'm going to have up there, if you just have the prayer book and the profession of faith and you didn't even have the Bible, that's enough to save you. You just read those and say, I agree. If you're in danger of death, the basic dogmas are stipulated on 2 pages of paper. Two sheets of paper. You read about 2 sheets of paper, if you're in danger of death, you don't have time to study the faith. If you believe what's on these 2 sheets of paper, you can be a Catholic, come into the church and be a member and save yourself. If you survive after coming to the church, now you've got to go on and you've got to study more. Because Proverbs 17:16, he refuses to learn shall fall into evils. So even like, not everybody's called to be a deep, deep theologian. But everybody is called for the basic stuff. Like Nicolaine, when she reads my Bible, she'll find it easy to understand. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not like you're getting into the... Even the deep things that we bring out are easy to understand once we bring it out. If you're debating it, it could be confusing. Because you can get lost when you're following people debating an allowable opinion. They can get lost. Like we were talking about the Immaculate Conception this week. And we had some deep conversations about the atonement and the redemption. And you're getting it from 2 sides. But if you read the book and I already dealt with it, and you read it, it's easy to understand. It's not made to be complicated. What complicates things, too, is when people are presenting things in such a way as to confuse people. So that you don't know what to believe in, one way or the other. Sometimes if it's an allowable opinion, you have to present both opinions, but you can even do that clearly. But when it comes to dogmas, though, and this is what they hate, Doc, when you're talking about dogmas, to present like heretical opinions and not telling us heretical and making you believe that that's okay. And even also, I got up there in the reference Bibles, the Douay-Rheims, the original Douay-Rheims in English, which was in English, New Testament was 1582, and the Old Testament is 1610. And I have that old original version with the old original commentaries. And their commentaries even contain heresies and Stoicism.
Yeah.
And the Dewey Rheims original thing. That's not good neither. And that was based off the Clementine Vulgate. But that's another reference Bible. So, like I said, when I was doing these texts, I would refer to all the different... First of all, it's obvious in many cases about when we caught that, like that heresy about when they said there's only 10 tribes.
Yeah.
There was only, one tribe in the southern kingdom of Judah. When it was split, when the tribes were divided after Solomon under his son, what was his son's name again?
Rehoboam.
And when it was divided, you had the 10 tribes up to the, actually 9 tribes. Levites were spread amongst both areas. So you had 9 tribes up in this southern kingdom, which is called the Kingdom of Israel. No, that was the northern kingdom.
Yeah.
And then you had the southern kingdom of Judah, which is Judah and Benjamin. So it was Judah, Benjamin, and then you had the other 9 tribes, and then Joseph's tribe was split in 2. That was up in the north, right? But everyone knows that, and if you're reading the Bible, that the south consisted of Judah and Benjamin, and that's it. And the Levites were split between both. So when you're reading the commentary and it says there was only Judah, or only one tribe in the south, and you go, well, that's not true. There wasn't one tribe, there was 2 tribes. Judah and Benjamin. So now you go and look at the Septuagint. Septuagint has it the right way. Judah and Benjamin. I said, how come you didn't look at the Septuagint, you jackass? Yeah. And if they read the same, if you read the next chapter, then it says Judah and Benjamin. But a chapter before, it only said Judah. Stuff like that. Obvious stuff. And there's a lot of obvious stuff. And they said that when you read the Bible, if you read it well and you read it a lot, you say, something's not making sense about that. This don't sound right. Now, this sounds wrong. I mean, even the New Testament's translations of the Vulgate were not correct. About Paul, God winking his eye at certain things,
yeah,
like he accepted it. There's so many. This Bible, we got to do with a fine-tooth comb. It's a bulwark of the faith. It's going to put you on the rock of Peter. That's how important that this Bible is, which was finally posted up. Now, people can say, you know, Rich, you climbed up a mountain when you were done with the Hellenization book. You're going to climb up the mountain now? Well, this one, I don't know. Maybe I will when it gets a little better. If it's too hot, I don't want to, you know.
Good time of year.
it's the worst time of year to climb up the mountain. In the winter, when it's cooler out. So maybe I will. I don't know. I said, maybe I'll dance on the roof. But remember I said, dancing on the roof is minor stuff. This Bible is big.
Let me fix it first.
What should I do special?
Yeah, right.
I got to do something special. Go ahead, TJ.
Trip to Ireland.
A trip to Ireland?
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
I can dance in one of the taverns when TJ's playing with that Frankie Gavin.
Yeah.
I heard that guy, the violin guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you got some good stuff there.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing, though, with the Irishmen, though? They're still more, like, I don't know, at least when I look at your taverns and pubs, they're more simple than these wise guys over here. And our cowboys are sort of like that. And the people down south are more like the people in Ireland. But a lot of your city people, a lot of people in the United States are a bunch of, you know, like, I don't know, really bad. Really bad. I mean, harder to convert, I think, than other people. Go ahead.
I'm just going to mention about the Color Atlas. That is such a wonderful...
Oh, that's beautiful, too, yeah. Oh, the other thing was, I was holding off on the maps for a while, and I was only going to put, like, 3 or 4 maps in, and I said, I'll do the maps later on. That's why it took a little bit longer, guys. Look, because here's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to get around to a second edition.
I don't think so.
I got too much work. But here's what I'm going to do. I am going to have revisions to the first edition of the Holy Catholic Bible. I'm going to have I'm going to put the revisions in there and post that up as I add stuff to it. Mm-hmm. So they can look at the revision book, like an errata. You know, when people put out a published book and they put out an errata on a piece of paper. These are all the grammatical or spelling errors or even some other errors in it. And they insert that paper in the Bible. So I am going to put up a revisions book, revisions to the first edition of the Bible, and I'm going to add, as we do corrections, I'm going to add it so people are going to know what I revised in the first edition. But I don't think I'll ever really get around with the cross-references and all that. So I said, if I'm not going to really get around to it, I'm going to feel really bad if I only got 3 or 4 maps. I liked it. And when I came across that Atlas by Ragland, that was like a free thing. It was downloaded. It was great. That's a really good, you know. I said, I got to put something in there that's at least substantial. Better than, like, if you look at most of your nominal Catholics, they don't even have maps in the back. They got like three pictures, and you can't even make it out. It stinks, you know. People love to look, and they get the feeling of what's going on. I'd love to have even more pictures. That's why I got that Atlas up there.
Yeah.
So the pictures took me, like, just 1 week just to figure out. I had to scan them in, straighten them out, put them into the Photoshop, crop it out. And you got, so I said, put a little bit extra work in so I don't say, okay, if this is the last Bible, I'm going to edit because I'm not going to have time to put out a second edition. I don't want to feel bad that I don't have at least a substantial amount of pictures. And the last thing I came up with was the Daniel 70-week prophecy and the things about Christ, the life of Christ, what I put in there. And I added that. Now, like I said, and I had to stop too because like every day you're going to get like, hey, Rich, you got a typo here. You got this over here. So that's going to happen. But the way I'm going to deal with that is what I just mentioned here. I'm going to have revisions to the first edition of the Holy Catholic Bible. And I'll put it up. Any time I add substantial stuff to it, I'm going to post an update on it. So people can go right online and look what I'm already correcting without putting it in the first edition itself. And then I got to bring in all those other cross-references. And then I got to take those cross-references and put them where they belong. Now, maybe it'll get done. Maybe somebody, we get more people in here, somebody can help me with stuff like that. You know, but I'm very careful on who I give that. I got the master Bible, okay? So that's the, I got the master template. I'm very careful about who I give that to. Imagine if I gave the master template for somebody to put cross-reference into it, and he's a George Soros-supported infiltrator, some Jew or Freemason, and he pretends he's a good Catholic, and he comes in, I say, here, take my master copy of the Bible and add the cross-references, so I don't have to do it. And when you're done, give it back to me. Well, that Bible's 1,360 pages. He can go in there and put a knot where you should put a knot, get rid of a knot where a knot should be, changes the whole context. And I don't know it. And I don't see it. And so I want to be the only one that handles it. So that's why it's going to be difficult. But even now, even the works that Brother Augustine is doing in German, and if somebody translated my Bible to German, what we say on that site is that this is not the original. How do I know if we get someone translating my works and he's an infiltrator? He comes in here and he starts mistranslating my stuff and I don't read the language. Or he makes a mistake even. So what I said to people is, if you have a problem with the German translation, the English is the master copy. That's the original. That's where it's coming from. Go look at the English on my site. And so I got the master copies. And but anyway, that going up, now... going forward on the profession of faith, any questions on the Bible things on that? So I don't feel like I'm saying enough. That's how happy I'm with it, you know. Or like I'm not climbing the mountain either.
Yeah.
They're going to wonder, why am I not climbing the mountain?
I just looked at the maps just this morning.
Yeah.
They're great. Way clearer than I get in my
Bible. Exactly.
Feeling.
Yeah.
And more and...
clear.
Modern ones where you can see what the town is now.
Yeah, exactly.
And look where it was in history.
You look at the ones in the back of the Nominal Catholic Bibles, the print is so small, you can't even see what you're looking at.
It's frustrating.
You can't see what you're looking at. You know, I'm going to do on a mountain climb? I'm going to send Ryan up there instead. He's going to be a proxy for me. Ryan, I give you my special blessing. No, I'm going to climb up there again.
Go early in the morning.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we're going to go up there again.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll go up there when the profession of faith is up.
Yeah, that's what
I'm thinking. But this time we're going to go up the right way.
Yeah. Just follow the same route.
Don't follow it.
On the way back. Go ahead.
Don't try it. Yeah. We're going to go up the spine and down the spine.
Yeah.
No more
breadcrumbs.
No more tempting God. No more tempting God. What's that?
Bring an updated flash drive for the girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, we'll go up there again. We'll go up there again. But... I don't know, I just think we're going to give God, our Blessed Mother, St. Gabriel, St. Joseph, St. Michael, St. Raphael, our guardian angels, St. John the Baptist, St. Francis of Assisi, Elias, good St. Anne, St. Joachim, St. Zachary, St. John the Baptist, St. Elizabeth. you leave people out. But anyway, all the great graces. That's my point. God would give me these commentaries. And before I read any church fathers, this happened right when I was converting even.
Yeah.
And I'd read like infallible payment, and it was matching what God would. Because in the beginning, I'm coming when I was converting, God converted me. I left the Vatican II Church. When I was about 12 years old when they brought the hippie masses in and all that. I left. So now I'm coming back in, and I'm learning on my own, but I'm getting the Catholic interpretation. In the beginning, though, I was leaning towards Protestantism. I was. And then finally God enlightened me with the fact that the Catholic Church is the true church. The salvation dogma converted me. Even though the Council of Florence, Cantate Domino, is invalid, that statement was a bulwark. When I read that, I felt proud to be Catholic, started this, and it was amazing. But, so that's how it happened. The commentaries are backed on either other commentaries or church fathers, but sometimes when I'm right, it's even common sense when you look at the scriptures.
Yeah.
All right? And there's even some things that God has given me to write about on the Holy Trinity and the Incarnation that are really, I don't think they explained the way I explained it, but all the church fathers, if you read it, they get into deep on this stuff. They went over a lot of this stuff already. And we've never read it about how the Son is less than the Father in causation. Because he depends upon the Father for his eternal existence. But the Father's eternal existence depends on no one. But I'm not going to get too deep on that stuff right now, but all this stuff we grew up, we were never given a proper... We got a Bible that had like a measly commentary. Measly. We never read about the church fathers. We never knew about the first 1,000 years of the church, even up to the 1400s and 1500s. Because even though these apostate popes, these councils got some heresies in there, they had a lot of good stuff too. So they were hiding so much stuff from us. Especially now. Since the Vatican II Church came in, they just dumped everything overboard. So it's absurd now. It's absolutely absurd. Now, what about what's going to do? Maybe we should just keep it one topic. It's easier. We can do the profession of faith. I can talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably just keep it one. What else? That's it. We'll keep it one topic for now. But any questions from the brothers online, we'll take them now. Any questions? Go ahead, Mark.
I think you've all scratched the surface on what improvements and purification you've done. Like, for example, the word hell, I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
The fact that none of them have really specified what is hell and where is the underworld. The thing I brought up with the Douay Rheims, like in the man's womb,
yeah,
stuff like that. It's just unbelievable how that's true. And that's a traditionalist Bible.
Yes.
And none of them have spotted that. What's going on?
Right. It's like we say they got bugs in the
room. The only way messaging recently about errors in the Bible, and it, now that we have it online, I can give that to her. I was a bit delayed in getting back to her, but
good
timing.
Good. No, it's like we say they got bugs in their brains. Stupid things, silly things. And we said, you know, that when you get, you know, when you get a bad biblical text that's mistranslated, it's just horrible, and you don't know how to explain it, try to read that commentary. Because then you're trying to explain the unexplainable.
Well, I say like the Haydock, when he's contradicting, commentaries.
And you're trying to figure out what it means. And then when you get the proper text, you don't even need a commentary.
Yeah, right.
You don't even need it. The text explains itself. But when you get a messed up text and you don't know what it means, you're going to have 10 different people trying to tell you what it means. And guess what? None of them is going to be successful. Because it don't mean anything. Because the text is wrong. It's stupid. It's wrong. It's contradictory. It's horrible. Horrible. Oh, you got the biggest thing to people. You just read my Clementine Vulgate book, The Errors of Clementine Vulgate. That's where I go over all of that stuff. Yeah. And I pull out some of the key ones. And TJ was just mentioning a couple right there. And he has something else he said to me. Go ahead.
Life begins in the womb. Exodus.
Yeah, that one too, yeah.
Oh, that's so important.
Oh, you can see the motive. Woo. And even like you said, the use of the word hell. Mm-hmm. And they don't explain it the right way. In the right way, it means underworld, but that's not what people believe today. Really, when people say hell, what do they believe? The hell of the damned. You know? And so, when you're looking at the biblical text, and you look at, like, that's why I had to correct that, write a whole article on that. It's scandalous. Because when they're saying Christ descended into hell, now, it's my allowable opinion that he also went down to the hell of the damned to chain up the devils and damned humans, but the main thing is he went to the limbo of the fathers to liberate them and preach them in the limbo of the fathers. That's what they mean by hell. But hell, technically, if you look, it's just the underworld. So he did go to the underworld, but you could be a little more specific. And the Jews were specific. Sheol was the place of the dead. Gehenna was the place of the damned. So you have to, and sometimes they say they're both in the underworld. And that's why sometimes they say the lower pit. The lower pit means that damned, where the devils and damned are. So that's a big thing. But there's so many horrible, horrible, crazy translations in the Clementine. I mean, these people, like I said, if they were translating Aristotle and Plato, I'm sure they'd be very meticulous.
Yeah, right.
They would be very meticulous on having an accurate text of Plato, Aristotle, Cicero.
One of the worst was the two species. You know,
oh,
that
too.
Oh, horrendous.
Crazy. That he's a book. And then you only need to receive one and not two, and then both are in one. The bodies and the blood, they're worse than that. Even the bodies and the blood, that's the worst one. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say maybe blood could be in a body, but body and the blood? Unbelievable the stuff these people came up with. And I said it to people many times. You don't want to believe that this great apostasy started in 1033. Well, look at the evidence. It did. And you have a lot of people saying that up to the 1,000 years. Now, at the year 11th century, all hell broke loose. The devils were unchained.
Yeah.
And I say it again. It's almost like the world already ended then. God ended the world then. This is spare time. This last 1,000 years is for a few more people that are going to be saved. Yeah. And also for two reasons. He's given you another 1,000 years. So for the sake of a few more people that are going to be saved, and to show you how evil the devil's kingdom is going to be, by giving him the power he's never had before, so you can say, okay, now you want him, he's all yours, unrestrained, and look what you got. Let him bring your utopia. Let him give you everlasting life. Let him give you true peace and joy. Yeah. Let him give you true law and order. God wants you to see this. And you know what's amazing? The people that follow the devil, they like it. The Antifa people, the homos, the transgenders, they like this world, this evil world.
It's Roe versus Wade. Absolutely.
They're going nuts.
They
want to kill babies.
Oh,
it's crazy. I say it a million times. It's like if you have crap on the table and a sirloin steak. They're eating the crap. God's offering them a sirloin steak, shrimp, cheesecake. They're eating crap.
Yeah.
And they're saying they love it. Look at modern art. Literally, they throw crap on a canvas and they call it art.
Biden Jr.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. All right, so any more questions? Oh, okay. We'll just keep it on the Bible. Next week we'll talk about the profession of faith.
Yeah.
And that's done, right? I'll give you a brief on it. I got 23 points, I think, up there on the profession of faith. I need to add three to five more, and I'm done. So that's basically done. I just got to put it together in one book. So that's basically done. So if people, because when we got people coming in, we want to have all these three things available to people.
Yeah. You see, Mr. Catholic, Biden, and Grissom, and all.
Oh, they're going nuts over the Roe Wade thing. They're going crazy.
I mean, how could you possibly think he's that president is a Catholic?
TJ posted up a great thing about his early stance when he was against abortion.
Yeah.
Well, this is your politician. You know what? This shows you how people are. It's scary. When people start going bad, they start changing their, like, it's like you're a whole other person. The thing I hate, but you know what? Biden always was pro-abortion.
Yeah.
He said it back then because his constituents would have voted for him. He now knows it's the opposite. A lot of people began to accept it. He's now standing on it to get elected. Because people start following the multimedia.
Yeah.
They get brainwashed by it. And then when they start talking about it, it's so bad. I mean, how could this guy...
The two nominals.
Nominal Catholics. And that jackass in Rome.
I know.
Said
he never said
it. Nothing.
They said the U.S. bishop said something.
This is outrageous. This is the worst thing that ever. It's an affront to women's rights. Never anything about the baby. Ever. Right. The guy's he's a human. He's offering infants to the devil. He's an infanticide. Mm-hmm. And they talk about all these other people. This guy and Pelosi.
Yeah,
and even though the guy said she can't receive communion, she says, no, she's not excommunicated.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. If I had control over her in a cat, first of all, she's under a major excommunication. She's not even a member, okay, number one. If I had power over her, she's dead. She's dead. Dead!
Sick.
And I'll kill her in public and burn her at the stake. And with the drag queens on top of it. I mean, this is insulting. You want conservative Protestants to come into that church?
Yeah.
No way. That's why the first thing we tell these Protestants is goodwill conservative Protestants. We are not we are not associated with that church.
Yeah.
You're no longer the Catholic Church. And if you can't see that now, you're gonna be blind as anything. Yeah. And then you're also they're papalators.
Yeah.
They see you idolize, and then it ruins the whole true definition of papal infallibility. Okay, now if I don't end it now, as I say, we're gonna go on forever here. All right, so we'll end that now. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.